You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
Good communication is intentional. And that can be taught. So if you don't remember anything from this podcast, the bottom line is good communication is intentional and it can be taught.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast, the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. And I am Ben Wolf, your host. We're going to learn from our guest today how to be heard and without screaming, which for business owners is a critical skill, whether it's with your team, whether it's with thought leadership or public speaking, whether it's with colleagues, networking, critical skill. So I'm very happy to share this content with you today. And before we get started, again, for business owners, I just want to share a few good resources that you could find at wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. Particularly, we have a roadmap tool there that is a simplified version of what our COOs on our team, all of whom have owned or run businesses before, use with our clients in terms of mapping out the path from where they are now to where they want their business to be like, what they want their life to be like, and a video guide on how to use it. Very useful tool, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. There's a few other great resources there, including the free chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach. So I want to make sure you guys have all of that available to you at wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today. She has 20 years collective background, or actually more than that, in marketing and in communications leadership. She was a news anchor, a reporter, and a municipal information officer. So she's been in the public sector, coaches a lot in that space. She's the author of The Public Servant's Survival Guide, 10 Keys to Reclaim Your Joy in Work and Life While Doing What You Love. A link will be in the description and in the social media. And with that, I give you Brenda Viola. Did I mess it up? Because you told me the correct way.
Viola.
Viola. See, I messed it up. See, if I hadn't said anything, I probably would have gotten it right. I got confused at what you said. Brenda Viola.
Everybody gets it wrong.
Yeah, I appreciate the kindness. BrendaViola.com. You can learn more about her. Welcome, Brenda.
Hey, it's so great to be here, Ben. And I loved what you said in the opening, because you said creating the business and what you want it to be like, and also your life and what you want it to be like. And I think that's an important point to make as well, because if you're a good communicator in the boardroom, you're likely to be a good one at home as well. And the skills that I teach help you having difficult conversations with clients or making presentations, but also working something out with your teenager or your spouse. So good communication skills are going to serve you in every area of your life. And too often people just assume that they're good communicators. And I think that's actually one of the biggest mistakes that people make.
Awesome. Well, yeah. And I want to get into mistakes in communication very early on in this, but before we even do that, can you share, give us a little context, a quick 2-minute background on sort of like where you came from, your story, and how we came to be talking about this topic of how to be heard without screaming in all areas of life and all kinds of relationships.
I have to chuckle because I was thinking about when all the other children my age were clamoring for Barbies, I begged to get a tape recorder for Christmas. You know, those old school cassette recorders with a little microphone. And I went around interviewing everybody in my family and anybody that would stop to talk to me. And so from early on, I was sort of a communication nerd, hoping to be the next Diane Sawyer or Barbara Walters, and also a writer as well. And I love the spoken word. When I read a paragraph and it's well put together, there's something so beautiful about it. And then I became a student of words and how to put them together in ways that are more likely to be well received. Sometimes we have to deliver bad news or hard truths, but I do believe that there is a way to say a thing that will help it land. And sometimes that's where the most important coaching comes into place too. So my degree is in communications, radio, TV, film. I have been in front of the camera. I've been behind the camera. I'm a writer and I can't help myself. Ben, you know this, as we were getting ready for the interview today, I started coaching. Well, we should do this and we should do that.
You gave me some great coaching. Hopefully it'll help all my podcasts going forward.
I can't seem to help myself. It sort of ekes out. And this is an interesting thing. And I would say this probably to all entrepreneurs. What you are meant to do is in you. You can't help yourself. It sort of pops up just like an unsinkable cork. And if you try to suppress it, it will come out in other ways. So even though shockingly, I didn't end up being the next Diane Sawyer, I still am living my purpose. And I think that that is why what I do works and why what everyone who is doing what they were born to do, why it works, because you were uniquely suited for the task.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to mistakes. All right. We spoke about with your team, maybe with people you're negotiating with public speaking, maybe family, maybe that teenager you mentioned. What are the when thinking about business owners, what are the biggest mistakes, I guess, that you find people making that people might hopefully see themselves in?
When you said, let's get back to mistakes, that line from the Frank Sinatra song, mistakes, well, actually regrets, I've made a few, and then again, too few to mention. Well, I have made my share and that's how I've learned, but I also have coached so many other people. And I think one of the greatest mistakes people make is thinking they have communicated just because they've said the words. Mm. There is a great difference between information and communication. Information is simply delivering words. Whether they land or not, we don't know. Communication is getting through, where the words that you say are actually understood. And that is the place we all want to be. Because so many people just hate the idea of talking and they hate public speaking, or they hate having difficult conversations. They have their talking points and they get through them and it's sort of like, I'm done, did my job. But did they get through? When I was in public service, every department head had to report out to the Board of Commissioners. And the ones that were dealing with it as if it was root canal at the dentist office, you could feel it. You could feel like, please just let me get through my facts. But then there's such a difference when someone is in love with their material. Not in love with the sound of their own voice. That's not what I'm talking about. But when your material is a part of you, when it's important to you, when you're conveying it with passion or purpose, people want to listen to that more. So making the distinction between information and communication, that's the biggest mistake people make when approaching any of these situations.
Why doesn't it land? Like what makes it not land when people get across? Because I'll just being frank, yeah, this is definitely a weakness of mine where I feel like I thought my main problem is that I don't repeat enough. Mm. It's like I'll say things once and then in my head, if I say it again, I'm insulting the person by assuming that they didn't get it and that they're thick or something like that. I don't repeat things enough. I don't know if that's my only problem. Maybe I have other problems in the delivery also, but why is it not enough to communicate the idea that needs to be communicated? What's not enough about that?
Okay. So don't let me forget going back to the repeating things thing.
Okay.
But have you ever seen the Peanuts cartoon where Peppermint Patty is in the classroom and all she hears is wah, 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 wah. Mrs. Altmar, she actually had a name. And her lips are moving, but nobody's hearing. And good communicators serve up a message. when you go to a really good restaurant, you don't want them to just slap food on the table and not present it in a way that's palatable. And that's why I always talk about the importance and value of a story. If you can incorporate a story into what you're saying, so it paints a picture in people's minds, making it enjoyable. We live in a world where people are tethered to their phones, information overload. How do you cut through the noise? And so just delivering the facts, just the facts, ma'am, that only works in police work. You've got to give more than facts for it to actually land. And to your point about repeating things, we think because we've heard it a million times in our head or in our notes, or we said it once that, you know, we don't want to be annoying. But the truth is that people need to hear things about seven times before it actually penetrates. Now, I'm not saying say the same, don't be a nag. Don't say the same thing the same way seven times. But maybe if you've said it in a staff meeting, then following up with an email, putting it in your Slack or Teams channel, and then reiterating it in other ways, just so one-on-one meetings, saying the same thing over and over again in different ways. And there's techniques how to do that so it doesn't always sound exactly the same, gives people a better chance to comprehend it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the research says. It takes about seven times. And an hour after you say something, most of it's going to be gone. Simple fact of communication. Mm-hmm. So you've got to bring it around again, or else it's just going to be lost.
Right. Maybe people also don't know if it's serious if you've only said it once. Maybe you forgot what you said and you didn't really mean it. It was just, oh, just something you thought you had to say. Don't really mean it.
We easily get bored with our own stuff. I know I do all the time. I do certain presentations around the country over and over and over again. And sometimes I'm like, I'm tired of saying this, but my audience, it is the first time they've heard it. And so bringing fresh energy and fresh stories. And I find that the school of life gives me plenty of material mm-hmm. because the examples that I used to use last year have been all replaced with fresh new examples of how we can communicate better or any of the other classes that I teach. And so if it remains fresh and invigorating, you know, everything is material, Ben. For a writer, for a speaker, for an entrepreneur who has to lead meetings and inspire a team, everything is material, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. So if you look at life as, oh, that's material, then you'll stop feeling badly about the things that go wrong.
How does the background of being a reporter, like how does that enter into what you teach now?
When I was a reporter, I learned the gotchas. I learned how reporters often liked to get you off your topic, change the subject, get you to think and say things that you never intended to say. And that's when we really get in trouble. But I also learned the power of the sound bite. Now, we've all heard about sound bites. It's a 7 to 15 second phrase or sentence. And you might have done a half hour interview, but the reporter pulls this one phrase, perhaps completely out of context. And that's what people remember about what you said. So flipping it around as a communications coach, I tell my clients, let's work on your sound bite in advance. Mm-hmm. Let's synthesize everything you want to say. And I encourage them. What is the one takeaway that you want people to leave with? It is a fatal error to go into any important conversation or meeting or interview or presentation or podcast without knowing what the one takeaway is. Because if you don't know, your audience is never going to really know. So when you have that soundbite written, and often you'll start out with 30 seconds of text, and I say, cut it down, cut it down, cut it down. What is the essence of what you're trying to say? And then you weave that in several different times in several different ways in the presentation or interview or meeting that you are delivering. Now, here's the thing. And I just used a tool that I'm going to tell you about. When I say, here's the thing, or the bottom line is, or what you really want to know is, don't you find yourself sort of perking up a little bit, leaning in and saying,
the one thing I need to remember.
The one thing I need to remember, if you use those verbal highlighters, you will cut through the wah, 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 wah. Because look, not everybody is as jazzed about what you want to say as you are. And no one's enthusiasm will ever rise higher than your own level of enthusiasm for the topic. So cutting through the noise by saying, look, I've said a lot here, but here's the bottom line. And then boom, deliver your soundbite. It's about this preparation that cues you up to have an excellent communication experience. And I remember verbal highlighters. In fact, I have them sort of near my desk. So I remember to use them. When I was in public service, we would have sometimes 3 and 4 hour meetings. And the reporters would scan through the tape and just listen for the verbal highlighters. When you get a 10-page memo, oh God, who likes them? No one. But if someone takes the time to highlight the important points and then you can just scan, it's a service. So when you verbally highlight what's important, it's a service to your audience. And that's how being a reporter helped me become a better speaker and a good communications coach, because we work on the soundbite and tee it up so it lands.
So let's say we have our soundbite. We think about what we want to say, involve a story, make it more engaging, not just a checklist of facts or information points. But somebody that we're speaking with, again, one of our team members, whoever it is, has an objection, challenges us, disagrees, or, you know, so you're wrong, or you're making a mistake, or whatever it is, challenges what we're saying. How do we respond without taking that personally?
Oh, it's such a great point, and it's all part of preparation. One of the other mistakes that leaders make is they're shocked at pushback. And I say, not only anticipate it, but appreciate it. The best way to anticipate pushback is to gather your team together and say, okay, this is the message I'm going to deliver. Throw every objection you can at me. Because your team may have thought of something that never occurred to you, and they're going to come from their various filters and perspectives. The finance guy is going to think of the finance questions. The attorney is going to think of the legal questions. The frontline person is going to think about, you know, what's going to come in on the phone lines after you deliver this message. So I always say, get your team together and have them grill you like you're in a press conference in advance of the big meeting. You know, anybody who thinks that they are so brilliant that they can just wing an important meeting or conversation is completely deluded. You need to anticipate pushback, and then together with your team coming up with the correct talking points. Here's also why it's important to have your team in that process. Because if a reporter ever is involved, you might say something, but they're also going to go to your second vice president or your frontline person. They're going to try and chip away at this message and see if someone's got a different take on it. But if in the framing of your message, you've got your team together, you are saying the same thing in your own way, but there's power in that unity. And so if you're talking to 5 different people and they're all saying basically the same thing, there is strength in that message and you can't shoot holes in it. Now, in a public meeting, there are still going to be those, or even a private meeting, there are still going to be those things that are like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? I had that happen to me recently when I was doing a workshop, and the title was How to Be Heard Without Screaming, which is my new book that's coming out in 2024. And this woman raised her hand and she was like angry. And she said, I don't agree with that title. It should be How to Be Understood, because you can hear things and not understand them. And she was right. However, How to Be Understood Without Screaming doesn't sound as catchy as How to Be Heard Without Screaming. And so appreciating pushback. And I said to her, that is such a great point. It doesn't really work as the title, but I'm going to make sure that I clarify in the text of my book that this is really about being understood, not just being heard. And just acknowledging that she had a great point kind of diffused the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, she was a fan. And I actually went back to her comment over and over again in the presentation because it was valid. So how do you not take it personally? And when you are taking it personally, you're really not taking things professionally. I say empathy shifts the energy. Put yourself in the audience's shoes. Why are they saying it the way they're saying it? Generally, if people are yelling or they're upset, they're just simply afraid. So if you can mitigate their fear and actually have empathy for where they're coming from, that's so important. Which leads me to another comment. You can never ignore the elephant in the room. It's important to sense the fear in advance. My audience is going to be terrified that I've called an all hands on deck meeting without any prior notice. This is something new and it's an emergency meeting. Well, the first thing they're going to be afraid about is, am I going to get laid off? Are we going to have cutbacks? What, you know, you are foolish to not address the elephant in the room right from the get-go, or else they'll never hear anything else you have to say.
Right.
So it's addressing funny.
Whenever any of my kids' teachers would call home, they would the first words out of their mouth would be, "Hi, this is Leah from blah blah blah. Everything is okay." Like that's the first thing they would say before they got on to whatever it was about.
Yes. It's, you know, I had a toxic boss once that loved scare tactics, and he would call me up and say, Brenda, get down to my office right now. And no context, no, here's what I want to talk about. It was meant to rattle me. There will be those people that will try to rattle you. That's why it's important for you to know your talking points, know your soundbite, know what your takeaway is. And I talked about the verbal highlight, but there's another tactic used in the news business, which is bridging. Now, you may be looking at debates and seeing bridging all over the place and saying, oh, I hate this technique. However, if someone is trying to get you off your game, bringing up a completely unrelated topic and wanting to make you sweat, use bridging. Bridging are also these go-to phrases that you can employ. That's an interesting point, but here's something equally important to consider. Or, I can't speak to that, but what I can say is, boom, get right back to terra firma. Because you're going to be skating on thin ice. And when you find yourself answering questions because they've been asked, then you're not really in control of the situation. I'm not saying avoid all questions, but if they are not germane to the main topic, you can say, that's an interesting point, not the purpose of this meeting. I promise to look into that and I'll get back to you. Then you have stayed true to your intent and your purpose. You've been responsive, but you haven't gotten off your game. We all know those interminable meetings where people are bringing up things that have nothing to do with the topic at hand, and ends up being what should have been a 20-minute meeting ends up being 2 hours, and everybody's frustrated. So as a leader, you need to stay on point and keep the end game in mind, and while being responsive to concerns that come up that don't necessarily have anything to do with the point of the discussion or the presentation.
Right. There's so many great nuggets here that I know people are going to take away. Let me ask you this. What is your soundbite?
Ooh, that's such a good one.
I'm sure you probably said it 5 times already, but.
Good communication is intentional. And that can be taught. So if you don't remember anything from this podcast, the bottom line is good communication is intentional and it can be taught. And I will add, if you even think you're good, awesome, but you can be great. And sometimes it takes fresh eyes to see what you are missing, because we're so used to ourselves and the sound of our own voice. Good communication is intentional and it can be taught.
All right. I like it. BrendaViola.com. To learn more, for anybody, you know, who does want to learn more about this, I was talking in a conversation with a business owner recently who is doing a merger with another business, and there was rumblings, people knew something might be happening or something is in discussions, and so to kind of communicate about what's going to happen, without having people panic, without having people worry, as you said before, about their jobs. This communication piece is so critical. I mean, your whole business is dependent on it. It's not like a nice to have, like, you know, to be, you know, I don't know, learn how to do a TEDx talk or something. I mean, it's something just to run a business, to succeed, to not have panic among the people that you depend on and who you value in the day-to-day running of your business.
I'm so glad you said that. And I will add, you know, you are all about fractional leadership, and many companies don't hesitate to get a fractional CEO or a CFO. But what about the communications officer? And not just for external communication, as you said, internally for your people. Sometimes you just need fresh eyes and a fresh voice to get what's up here out of here. And through all of your channels, whether they are electronic or in the written word or just face to face. If I were to say one great nugget of truth when it comes to communication, and I stole this from someone else, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And whenever I do a speaking engagement, you can feel that I care about the audience getting it. I'm invested. And caring about the well-being of people. When I was in local government, if there was a tragedy happening in the community, the worst thing to start with are the facts. The best thing to start with is, we're aware that this tragic incident impacted our residents, and our thoughts and prayers are with them. I want to walk you through the steps we are taking to make things better and to address the concerns in the community. But we hear you, we see you. Way more powerful than all the facts.
Right. Truly appreciate you making the time today, BrendaViola.com. And thank you very much for making the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. It was a pleasure. I appreciate you.
Awesome. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.